Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, well, yeah, that would be me. Hey, James Bostic, A Conservative's Perspective here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Good to be with you. What an earth? Oh, golly, you know what I did? I didn't call myself, but now I have, and everything's okay. Putting myself in the screening room there. I'm going to answer myself. And now I'll move over here to, yeah, we're good. Perfect. All right. Well, I hope everybody had a terrific Easter week. I hope you guys, if you're on spring break, keep on breaking, baby. Hope you're having a good time out there. I hope Easter was great for you. Not much going on news-wise, but there are some things to talk about, and make no mistake, we'll do that. We do it live Tuesdays, Thursdays. Here, Blog Talk Radio with Patriot Nation, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a recorded version of the program that goes out on the Mojo 5.0 radio network, mojo50.com. If you're not listening, well, you should be. Some of the very best in conservative and libertarian talk radio that you're going to find out there, not to mention what we have here in our very small but very dynamic programming list. Of course, you've got ACP here twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Mark Hoffman, El Guapo, the handsome one, is in here on Fridays with Patriot Nation Radio Live. And then, of course, Gary Benford knocking it out of the park every other Monday. And last night was no exception with United Patriots Uprising. Outstanding guests. I mean, A-listers, guys. Bridget Gabriel was with us. Our friend Claire Lopez was there. Dr. Steve Turley came back. John DeLemmy, Quang Nguyen. Headliners, okay? Headliners, people. And they're coming to talk to Gary when they won't go to talk to anybody else. United Patriots Uprising. Good to be here with you. Well, excuse me. After the... After the Democrats burned the barn down, the Republicans got off their dead asses in Georgia and opened up the ashes where the doors were to let the burnt carcass of the animals out. So they come up with a decent law. They come up with something that's pretty good. Okay. And it is expanded in some areas, early voting. It's done a couple of positive things. Number one, you got to have an ID. You got to have one. That's all there is to it. You got an ID for buying beer. You got an ID when you go into the adult shop. You got to have an ID when you do anything. You got to have an ID to vote. That's all there is to it. So, naturally, this has gone a long way towards severely chapping the collective O-ring of the left, and they don't like this at all. And so what they've done is they've brought together their bullies. The Stacey Abrams, the Wokesters, the BLMers, the Antifas, the LBGTQ, B, ACDC, ACDC. Anyway, you get what I'm saying. All these different groups, and they put pressure on corporations. And they say, hey, Delta Airlines, headquartered in Atlanta. Hey, Coca-Cola, headquartered in Atlanta. Hey, Major League Baseball. You know, this Georgia law is kind of got us going a little bit, and we don't like it, obviously. And you're going to have to do something about it. And what we think you should do is you should speak out. Number one, you have to speak it. Well, we don't care whether you've read the law or not. We want you to speak out against it. What? Well, nobody else cares whether you read the law or not. We said we want you to speak out against it. Listen, it's like this, Delta. It's like this, Coca-Cola. It's like this, Major League Baseball. If you don't boycott them, we're going to boycott you. And so these guys, you know, they don't have any spine at Delta, at Coke, at Major League Baseball. None of these dudes have any nuts. They don't have anything, you know, gutsy about them at all. And so they roll over. And Coca-Cola starts talking smack that this is a bad law. Delta Airlines, their CEO, who, if I'm not mistaken, had a role in contributing ideas to this particular law that was passed. He says it's a bad thing. They start pressuring Major League Baseball. And I'm going to tell you something right now, guys. When it comes to the world of sports, when it comes to baseball, football, basketball, hockey, soccer, automobile racing, rodeo competitions, any athletic field of endeavor, marbles, jack rocks, okay, rock, scissors, paper, whatever the hell it is, okay, in any of those fields of athletic endeavor, the one thing that should always be dead last in a priority list is political bullshit. Joe Namath got woke. That meant that he might make it to practice on time. Joe Namath. What a legend. Broadway Joe. So then to prove of these three corporate concerns, to prove that they are like the worst of all of them, Major League Baseball ducks out. They bail. They move the this year with Atlanta was supposed to host the All-Star game. Well, a bunch of lawyers and executive types over at Major League Baseball who also have not read the legislation. Stupid bastards. Are saying that it's bad and we can't have this. And in all good conscience, Major League Baseball, who actually only let black players start playing about 70-some years ago, we're out of here. We cannot play the All-Star game, a game of such tremendous importance in the baseball playing season. We can't play it here, so we're going to play it somewhere else. All right, Major League Baseball. Yeah, you just, yeah, all right. What? $100 million. You mean, say what? $100 million. Most of it directly impacting minorities. I'm not dogging Broadway, Gary. He was my man. I had a Hamilton Beach butter-up popper. I used Brut by Fabergé. I didn't wear the pantyhose, but the other things, you know, Joe Willie was the man. So they move the All-Star game, and they screw... They screw the minority demographic in Atlanta and Fulton County area to the tune of $100 million, because that's what it's going to cost to do that. And where did they move? They moved to Colorado, a state that has even more stringent voting laws than the measures that Georgia just put in place. They have a shorter early voting period. Okay, if these Democrat idiots, if these woke jokes with keys to the executive washrooms would look, if you don't like what's going on in Georgia, well, then you should really dislike what Colorado's doing. But there you go. You move the All-Star game there. And while we're talking about Coke, we're going to go back in time a little bit. But these days, it seems that Coca-Cola, less concerned with selling its sugar water than selling Americans on the idea that somehow white people are not worthy of respect or even equal protections under the law. A few weeks back, you know, there was a whistleblower that revealed Coca-Cola's discriminatory employee training program that basically equated racism with whiteness. Whiteness. Not exactly sure how I feel about that. But in a series of online work assignments, Coke went so far as to try to instruct its white employees to be less white. How does one be? Provided, of course, one is white. How does one become less white? Well, Coke has an answer for this, a rather explicit one. To be less white means to be less oppressive, less arrogant, less certain, less defensive, and less ignorant, and being more humble. Of course, breaking with white solidarity. for the Coca-Cola people, judging folks based on the color of their skin is not only tolerated, it is company policy. And so if that's not enough de-whitening for you, Coca-Cola sent a letter to it, the Coca-Cola company, rather, sent a letter to its, not the in-house legal counsel, but the outside legal representation that handled Coke business, demanding that these law firms assign attorneys representing the Coca-Cola company based not upon whether or not they are a good lawyer, not upon the quality of their work, but rather upon their racial classification. So going forward, Coca-Cola will penalize certain law firms and reduce its fees to these law firms that are unable to hit certain racial quotas. Coca-Cola's CEO is joining the other race hustlers to claim that these sensible voter ID laws meant to curb fraud in Georgia's elections. You guys remember Georgia, right? November to January. Yeah, okay, Georgia. All right, that's what we're talking about. So we have these commonplace restrictions implemented in this new law in Georgia, and they see it as nothing short of white Americans attempting, what, say with me, to disenfranchise black voters. Now, this accusation isn't based in reason. It's not based on analysis of the law or its merits. Delta executives, their lawyers said, hey, these guys, I know what they're saying, but no, they didn't. They didn't read it. They didn't read the law at all. If you can hear what they're saying, you would know they didn't read it. So it's not based in analysis. It's not based in any true legitimate examination of the pros and cons of the law, but rather they root it in emotionalism because they want to put this group of Americans over here against this group of Americans over here. I'm just thinking about all this. Did you guys know, and again, this is, and Coke's not alone. We're just talking about Coke. Coke's doing this stuff. Delta's doing the same thing. Delta Airlines and Major League Baseball, both businesses that demand to see a photo ID before you can get your tickets to get on the plane or go into the stadium and spend $65 for a hot dog and a beer and a program, maybe. They're upset because the state of Georgia has decided it's probably a good idea if the people who are going to vote in our elections actually are who they say they are. Did you know, this is where the time traveling comes in, I talked about earlier, that Nazi Germany back in the day was one of Coca-Cola's biggest markets? During the 36 Olympics, in Germany it was Ein Volk, Ein Reich, Ein Vaterland, which was one folk, one people, one Reich, That's Germany, one fatherland, and the fatherland. So that was their thing. That was what they said, Ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Vaterland. Well, during the summer games in Germany in 1936, it was Ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Getränk, Coke ist se, Coca-Cola. One people, one country, one drink, Coke is it. Sieg Heil, baby. Fanta, you guys know what I'm talking about, the soft drink line. Coca-Cola owns Fanta, and that was a German company. But you don't hear Coca-Cola, or for that matter, Bayer, or for that matter, Gulf Oil, or for that matter, IBM. You know, all these are probably woke companies today, just waiting to be woke. If somebody asks them if they are, they're ready to spring on that one. All those guys were in bed with the Nazis. After the war, Fanta was taken over by Coke. Just taken over. They didn't pay the German people. They didn't do it. Because what they had done is they had taken the bottling plants, the Coca-Cola bottling plants, and they started making their own drink, which we know today as Fanta. You like Fanta? You like the orange? You like the grape? You like the pine? You're a Nazi! You're not really a damn Nazi, man. But there we go. The Coke wants to call people racist. Coke's Nazi. They made lots of Nazi dollars. Who do you think was responsible for that cataloging system that worked so well in exterminating more than 6 million Jews and others that the Reich decided were undesirable? Yeah, the International Business Machine Corporation, IBM. And their punch card systems. And it would just seem to me that if an organization, a company like Coke, apparently nowadays so dedicated into rooting out white supremacy that it forces white employees into racial re-education training seminars, would probably want to take a good hard look first at their own historical relationship with real, actual white supremacists intent on building a world-dominating master race. That's what racial justice requires, right? I mean, the punishment of one generation of Americans for the sins of all the generations past. So maybe they need to take a good look at themselves. Delta, the same thing. These guys don't have any spine. They really don't. Delta, by the way, they shot their mouth off, and the Georgia State Legislature did away with their gas breaks, their gas tax breaks on jet fuel. They cut it in half. It was like $400 million. It's going to hurt them. And when you couple the fact that former President Donald Trump has weighed in on this. Expect big things from Donald J. here in the next couple of years. Moving into the forefront with his own social media, along with Mike Lindell, is doing the same thing. These companies are going to get boycotted by conservatives. As As a matter of fact, let's see if I can pull that up. The treehouse. Yeah, I think it was in the treehouse. Delta is a case in point here. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, 100 flights were canceled on Sunday all over the country. They canceled over 100 flights. And what had happened was last week, Donald Trump asked for a full and unrelenting boycott of several corporations who've gotten all woke and they're acting as political activists to advance the agenda of the radical left. And these guys are the people, Coke, Major League Baseball, and Delta Airlines, you know, Coke and Delta headquartered in Atlanta, lying. I hate to say lying, but they're they're misinformed. They do not understand the bill at all. And they're misleading people about it. Well, on Sunday, after the president had encouraged these boycotts, Delta canceled over 100 flights. Websites at three Delta hubs showed 33 canceled flights arriving or departing, 19 canceled flights at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, 11 at Detroit's Metropolitan Airport, 3 in Minneapolis-St. Paul. Delta says staff shortages just suddenly appeared in multiple states all at exactly the same time. It's never happened before, but it did happen immediately after the boycott began. So what do you think? Do you think that it was just a coincidence that they just happened to cancel over 100 flights because of these staffing shortages in all these different places? Or is the boycott working? Seventy-five million people minimum. That's what we're talking about, that are Trump supporters and that would probably happily engage themselves in these actions. That's going to hurt. That is totally going to hurt. We're down to the bottom of the hour, and we're going to take a little musical break. I got to get something to drink. Quite frankly, all this talking makes a fellow thirsty. And when we come back, hell, I don't know. We'll figure it out. We'll talk about something. You are listening to A Conservative Perspective here, Patriot Nation Radio on Blog Talk Radio.
You gotta have something if you wanna be with me.
1974. Honey, I miss you. I miss you. You rocked. You straight up totally rocked. And so did your sisters, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79. Your daughters, 84, 86, 85, 80, they, oh, man. Yeah, that was great. Yeah, of course, Billy Preston, the fifth Beatle, nothing from nothing, leaves nothing. And then the one and only George McRae laying down a groove so deep you could trip over it. Ugh. Looking for Van McCoy in the Hustle. Got to find that here somewhere. Welcome back. Conservative Perspective here, Patriot Nation Radio Network. In the first half hour of the show there, you know, we talked about the, oh, gosh, the hypocrisy, the intellectual dishonesty, the self-insistence, the pandering. That just seems to be so prevalent among people that we are supposed to trust. I mean, take a look at some of our institutions. Okay. Just think about something. Just think about, you know, any of these institutions that are supposed to be so great at helping us govern ourselves. And, you know, we're supposed to be staffed, to steal a phrase, with the best and brightest, and they aren't, especially in this administration. Jen Psaki, mother of pearl. But beyond that, beyond the incompetent staffers that come and go as administrations likewise come and go, what is something good you've heard about the FBI since, oh, I don't know, say, Ruby Ridge? So 25 years. What's something good you've heard about the FBI in the last 25, in the last quarter century? What have we heard about this at one time vaunted, effective, much respected law enforcement organization? I'm not exactly sure that he is dead, but if he is, Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. is rolling in his grave, and I can guarantee you another great American, George Gordon Battle Liddy, who just recently passed away last week at the age of 91, former FBI agent himself, has had nothing but negative things to say about the FBI and its conduct from the days of Ruby Ridge on up. It is a corrupt organization. It is not simply rotten at the head, as they would tell you. The CIA. I don't know if we've ever heard anything good about the CIA, but our intelligence communities, Office of Naval Intelligence, Army Intelligence, Air Force Intelligence, all these different intelligence agencies, these organizations that operate in that, within that community, these are the same people that spy, that set up the spy game that they ran on Donald Trump's campaign. This same intelligence community that we're supposed to think is smarter than the communists, that's more clever than the Iranian terrorists, that are one step ahead of every single bad guy all around the planet every day, all the time. No, they can't. They don't. They're not interested in that. And they haven't been for a long time. On the individual level, You've heard it discussed here many times. I've said it. Mike Cutler said it. Claire Lopez has said it. Don New and Don Fiducia has said it. My man Gary has said it. But Orrin Hatch said it best when he said, it's impossible to go to Washington and return from there an honest man. And I'm inclined to believe. I'd say that that's probably true for 85 to 93% of everybody that goes to Washington. I really do. At some point, sooner or later, it gets good. It gets good. There's a lot of money there. And the lobbyists throw it around. And everybody thinks that their guy that they knew from way back at Podunk High School when he was assistant captain on the junior varsity football team and then went to the House of Delegates and from there to the state legislature and then into Washington. Well, he's just the same old boy he was back when we were playing against Gilbert for homecoming back in 82. No, he's not. No, he's been in Washington for 35 years, dude. He's no longer one of the hoi polloi. He's a swell. And he doesn't remember you except at election time. He'll trot out the same three or four recycled glory days stories. Convince you that he still remembers and he hasn't changed all that much in spite of that $750 suit. I'm here. It's not dead air. Still here, not dead air. Did you guys see the Easter rabbit at the press conference the other day, the one that had the gigantic mask on? Who's wearing them? Who's wearing masks? I'm not. There is a length of hallway. I might get, I'm not wearing masks. And as most of you know, my daytime gig is in school business. And where I'm working, I work in the high school that I graduated from with some really awesome kids. But the protocols, the mitigation protocols that they're using, I mean, they're just insane. Okay, I'll give you a good example. Let's just dispense with the mask thing. There's no science behind it. There's no science behind it. None. Now, if everybody were all wearing N95 masks that have been properly fitted and properly maintained every time they were put on or taken off and all that. Yeah, okay, yeah, you might have me. No, not the way it is now, no. But in school, yeah. The CDC had determined for whatever reason, children were safe to social distance at 3 feet apart. Adults, 6 feet social distance. Adults and children, 6 feet social distancing. The children themselves, 3 feet. Because you see, the child version of the virus is tiny and weak, and it can't fly as far as the adult version of the virus. That's why we have to stay 6 feet away, because, you know, it can fly further. The junior version of the virus, 3 feet, bang, it's on the ground, and that's it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the science. That's what they said. Now, I would say here is the challenge, but I don't know that it is a challenge. One of the cool things, and it can be a drawback, but one of the really cool things about working with the guys that I work with is they have, in many instances, in many social instances, a much larger mesh in their social filter. And by that I mean, human beings can be pretty complicated people. I mean, you know, they're complex organisms. Our social behaviors, our social constructs, our socialization, our interaction with one another, all those things can be really complicated and really weird. And not being that particularly sophisticated a guy myself, I guess maybe that's why I identify with him in a lot of ways. It's very concrete thinking. It's not particularly nuanced. They learn these things as they watch human behavior, just as we all do by mimicry. But it's not, they're just not naturally imbued with that. And that's cool. That's cool. But here's the point I'm trying to make. For example, let's take social distancing. These guys, they see it. They understand that it is a rule that for some reason has to be obeyed. And they try. And overall, if they're prompted and reminded, they do a pretty good job of it. And they're good little citizens. It's not in them. I don't think it's really in a lot of people, but it's really not in these guys. And case in point, I got a fella. He's a 10th grader, and he is about 6'8". And he probably weighs 90 pounds, 100 pounds maybe. He's just this tall, slender, you know, lanky, skinny boy. And he doesn't have that filter. If I sat still long enough, he might try to sit on my shoulder, and that's not an exaggeration. They're physical kids, okay? They want to be close. They want to touch. They like physical contact. They like that hand on the shoulder, or even, you know, when it's appropriate, you know, put your arm around them, give them a hug. That's important to them, and that's a key factor in their socialization. Well, hell, you can't take that away from those guys. Pandemic rules my ass. I mean, you can't. And you can take this from me based on 17 years of being in the school business, working with this particular population of incredibly awesome kids. But this doesn't work, man. It's not supposed to. That's why we have immune systems. And children, you know, for the most part, unless they have some pretty serious comorbidities, are not at risk of this. Because if those guys, if they love you, you're in. I mean, you're in. You're part of the tribe. And it's awesome for the last 4 years, I've also done Special Olympics, coaching our county's track team with the teacher that I work with in school. And it's just, it's rewarding, it's inspiring. But the point that I'm trying to get at here is they have these mandates that are set up that are impossible to achieve. And if they are achieved, it's done at an oppressive cost to these kids. Not to mention me, because I'm important here. And this stuff affects me and you. It affects you too. Who wants to have a mask burning party? Maybe, you know what? That's it. The mask burning challenge. The mask burning challenge 2021. Back in the 70s, the women's libbers, the women's liberation babes were burning the bras because of, and I never had any arguments with that at all. None. I was never opposed to that. 70s were cool, dude. That's all I'm going to say. Or you burned your draft card. You know, that was another big thing back in the late 60s, early 70s. You burned your draft card. You weren't going to go fighting that terrible war over there in Vietnam. You weren't going to wear this capitalist, anti-free-range, mammary-oppressing device. We were going to free the cookies, man. We're going to let them run. They're going to be free-range. Free-range cookies. Tube tops, halters. So we need to have a mask-burning party. And that'll be our statement, you know, when those babes burned bras, I'm done with what the man says. I'm going to be me. I'm going to do me now. And wearing a bra ain't part of me, you dig? And, okay, well, there we go. And that was their statement. Am I going to fight this war? I reject this government policy of conscription for military service, blah, 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 yakety schmacky. I'm a hippie, damn it. I just want to sit around in filth and not work. Leave me alone. And and look at these chicks that are walking around with no bras. But let's have a mask burning party. Let's figure out a date. Which would, July 4th would be a good date for that, you know. Biden said if we were really good and we said our prayers and ate all our broccoli and did our homework and got our rooms picked up, that maybe, just maybe, sort of, kind of, possibly, not saying for sure, not even saying for sure, maybe, but sort of, could have a tiny, limited, teeny, weeny, woony, itty bitty kind of gathering to quietly and not make eye contact with anybody or say anything real loud, you know, to celebrate our independence. I didn't say that too loud. I didn't offend anybody, did I? Mother of pearl. I completely lost my train of thought. I'll be damned if I can even remember what we were talking about. But anyway, we'll try and regroup. I think slowly what we're seeing, and the point of what I was going to get at when I was talking about these school rules and these mitigation protocols, you know, they've gotten to a point to where they defy common sense. They just defy common sense. Three adults and 10 kids, let's say, in a room 20 by 20, maybe a little bit bigger, maybe not. It is inescapable. Okay? If there's COVID in that room, at some point you're going to come in contact with it, and then it's between you and your immune system, brother. No mask. But you see more and more people doing it. They have that mask on, but their nose is poking out. Or they have the mask on, or it's pulled down to their chin. Or it's hanging from one ear. People, take the damn thing off if you don't want to wear it. If you want to wear it, wear it. Wear the hell out of it. Wear two or three of them. Go to the Army Surplus Store and get a Navy salvage diving helmet. Whatever you want to do, pal, that's cool. I'm not going to stop you from doing that. If that's what you want to do, I'm going to support you in doing that because you're taking measures that you think are going to keep you safe. Same reason there's a tactical shotgun and a 45 automatic in the nightstand and close by because I'm going to take the necessary measures to make sure that I'm safe. God forbid I ever have to use them. But if I have to use them, I got them. I know what to do. Same thing with the mask. Wear the mask. However, I don't think I need to take those types of precautions. If we're together and you're wearing a mask and I'm not wearing a mask, I don't understand the problem. You are protected, right? Your mask protects you, right? This is the reason we wear masks. It's the reason everybody fusses at those of us who do not wear them. I'm not going to wear one. I'm not going to get the shot either. And if you want to get the shot, and you can't, let me know. I will try and help you find a place to get the shot. Because, again, I think you should if that's what you want to do. If you want to go to that level or you think it's necessary to ensure your safety to do that, then do it. I'm not going to get in your way. I'm not going to take up a vaccine that was meant for somebody that really wanted to have it. I'm not going to do that. That's for you guys. I love you. I love you that much. Give, give, give. Never take. And slowly, I think that's where we're coming. I really do. I think that's what's happening. I think that's where we're going. I think gradually the laws will never change, but they'll never be enforced. They just won't. They're not being enforced now. So, for all you guys that have that thing underneath your nose, you have it underneath your chin, it's hanging from one ear, take it off. You don't have to wear it if you don't want to. Take it off. The way you're wearing it's not doing any damn good anyway. You can see it's not, you're not dying. Take the damn thing off. Join us. Walk in freedom. Walk unafraid. It sounds like a weird thing, and I can understand the concomitant eye rolling that might go with something like that, you know, to take such a militant stand on something like wearing a mask. Well, it doesn't work. So why are we wearing it? Why are you wearing it? Take it off. I was walking out of a grocery store the other day, and this woman was coming in, and she, like myself, was not wearing a mask. And I looked at her because it was so refreshing. You see it more and more, but it's always nice to see. And she looked back at me and she said, "Oh my God, I forgot my mask. I was wondering why you were looking at me like that." But I wasn't looking at her like that, like shame on you for wearing your mask. I was looking at her like, "Ah, sister, you look good without that mask, honey. It's good to see you." But she thought that I was going to say something to her, and she jumped and quickly put one on, fished around in a jacket pocket, and I got one out. What the hell? Are you serious? I have never worn them in a public place. I've never worn one at the bowling alley. I've never worn one to the grocery store. I've never worn one at Walmart. I've never worn one. Take it off. Take it off. You smell that? It's nachos, man. I made some for... Anyway, but you get the other... No, actually, it's Liberty. All right, I'm just kidding. But nachos can be very, very liberating. Especially when you don't have to take off a mask to take a bite, put the mask on, chew it up, take the mask off, take a bite. That's what they had to do out in California with that idiot Gavin Newsom. People. You don't have to wear it. I know they say you have to. You don't. Not dead air, I'm still here. And if COVID were such a priority, if COVID were such a planet killer, if COVID were such an existential threat to the body of humanity, how do you explain what the hell's going on at our southern border? Nobody's getting checked down there for COVID. Nobody's getting vaccinated. Oh, don't worry. We're giving vaccines to the Border Patrol. Border Patrol union representatives, these guys are idiots. No, they haven't done anything. We haven't seen any vaccine. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. And they got these kids, these unaccompanied children that, you know, are supposed to be the things. Kids and old people, aren't that what Democrats are supposed to care the most about? Children and the elderly. Some of these detention facilities are looking at 200 and 300 times their capacity. Not 2 or 3 times, 200 or 300 times their capacity. And they put up thick, heavy-duty plastic to replace the chain link because it just gives the cages a more hygienic, more humane look. Same places, same kids in cages, same thing, same location, except this time, like I said, you know, it's 100 to 200 times worse. It's not the usual predictable surge. But on the plus side, I saw today, it looks like the Biden administration is going to resume construction of the wall. Oh, yeah. Mr. President, put up that wall. Oh, God, I wonder if Joe's in bed. It's a little bit after 8. Can you imagine how much in certain applications the White House must be very much like a hospital ward? I know, I was thinking the Green Mile too when I said it. It's like death row at the Green Mile. And Tom Hanks, we gotta keep these guys quiet and calm. Okay, we don't want any trouble. We don't want these dudes upset, and we don't want them upsetting us. And I'm just wondering, given these struggles, and as time goes on, number one, you're going to see Joe Biden less and less being involved in substantive matters. Okay, you'll see him at the Easter egg roll. You'll see him visiting veterans. You'll see him at the opening of a community center, the Joseph Robinette Biden Community Center in Scranton or whatever. You'll see him for those things. The glad handing, the pressing of the flesh, the baby kissing. And then it won't be long before you see less and less of him in those situations as well. He's working hard on this. He's doing that. He's focused on all the many problems that we're dealing with here in the world today in the Middle East. And so he really doesn't have time. You know, Joe's a go-getter, and he chugged half a glass of Ovaltine about 45 minutes ago, and he's probably been asleep for 25. And, you know, unless he wakes up in the middle of the night and doesn't know where he is, we'll probably get him up about 5:30 or 6. Something is going to happen. Something bad is going to happen. Our enemies laugh at us because of this idiot. Beijing and Moscow and Tehran and Pyongyang are going to start acting more and more belligerent. They're going to become more and more challenging in which to deal with. Biden says he's going to be tough on China, but you know that isn't true. He belongs to them, bought and paid for through his son. I know he's a lot of tough talk on China. Nothing's going to happen. It's going to get worse. And China has been angling for hegemony over the Pacific Rim for decades now, and they're very, very close to attaining it. And this self-loathing that the left has for this country and its citizens is cancerous. It's also like chum in the water, because other nations will start, you know, Anthony Blinken, oh my God, was made to look like a straight up chump when he met with a diplomatic legation from Beijing in Alaska. They came out talking about human rights abuses. China countered with their own claims of human rights abuses here in the United States. After the meeting, Blinken makes statements that he sees things from China's view now. And he agrees with China. Something bad's going to happen. And the people that we have in place throughout our government, they're not up to the task. From Joe Biden to Kamala Harris on down, through the Joint Chiefs of Staff, through through the new military structures, you know, the new military commanders, rather, within the military community. They don't have what it takes. These guys are social engineers. They're not soldiers. They're not sailors. They're not Marines. They're not pilots. Airmen. And none of these people are going to be up to snuff when we need them to be. When the meat hits the metal, they're not going to be able to deliver, and we're going to get hurt. Physically, psychologically, financially, territorially, politically. I mean, we're going to get hurt. For what? Joe Biden? For Kamala Harris? For Nancy Pelosi? For Chuck Schumer? For Jerry the Jowl Nadler? For Eric Swalwell? For Anthony Blinken? For Neera Tanden? And then the other left-wing pinko moonbat out there that hates this country and its people and all the goodness that has been accomplished by this country and this people. These citizens, this peoples, not dead air, man. I'm still here just thinking about it all. I think we're going to go ahead and lock it up early tonight. We got about 10 minutes left. If you're serious about knocking this thing down, you're really beating it down for real, you want to stop it, and it may be too late, but if you're really serious about stopping it, you're going to have to go with the kids, man. You're going to have to pay attention to what's going on with your local school boards, your county, your state boards of education. Look at the people who are running for slots on these, you know, for the seats on these boards. Look at who they hang out with. Look at what they do for a living. Look where they went to school. If you got kids in the school system, and you know what? They're public damn meetings. Even if you don't have kids in the school system, maybe your kids are grown and gone. Maybe you don't have any kids. But it would behoove you to check out what's being taught. Example, critical race theory. It isn't here yet where I am, but simply a question of time, because there are going to be fanatical ideologues who see it as a good idea, and they'll do it. But it's going to be with the kids. It's going to be with who's teaching them history. It's going to be with who's teaching them civics. And it's going to, and you're going to have to, they're going to have to do some serious, it's time for some very, very serious regime change in our university and college system in this country. For a long time, people who go to college haven't been taught how to think. They've been taught what to think. Ask any political science major you know from any college that has a useless degree program like that. How many conservatives were in their political science department? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Okay, was there any one guy who stood in opposition to everything that all your other political science instructors told you was good and right and just and true about the left? No. Well, okay. Because had there been one and had you listened to him, you might have went, And I thought about what he said. And looking at conservatism and looking at how they read the Constitution, these other professors are idiots. But they don't do that. It'd be cool if they did, but they don't. That'll help a lot of it right there. That'll help a lot of it. Well, we got 7 minutes. I've been in enough time here, kind of tired. We're back at it tomorrow. A conservative's perspective is heard here twice a week, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Tuesdays and Thursdays. We also have a recorded version of the program that goes out on the Mojo 50 radio network, mojo50.com. If you are listening, you should be. It is the very best in conservative and libertarian talk radio you're going to find out there anywhere. Gary Binford, United Patriots Uprising, Mark Hoffman, not to be confused with Mark Herman. It's a different show completely. El Guapo, the handsome one, Patriot Nation Radio Live, coming up Thursday, 8 to 9 p.m. here on Patriot Nation Radio Network. That's all the time we got, guys. Well, that's all the time. You know, we have 6 more minutes, but that's all the time I've got. I'm done. Thank you so much for the opportunity to hang out with you and spend a little time. We'll be back here Thursday, 7 p.m., just like clockwork, Lord willing, and the river don't rise. Taking a look at things as we do through a conservative perspective. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless America. And we'll see you on Thursday at 7 p.m.